This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Hold the money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. If Barack Obama had won New Hampshire last night, you might have seen a shift in campaign contributions. A lot of donors wait for the first primary results to see who might have the best chance of winning the nomination. Hillary Clinton's victory yesterday will probably make the Democratic money think twice about where they're going to spend it. Same thing on the Republican side with McCain's win. Daniel Carson has more from Washington.
The race for the White House is spotlighting donors' biggest fear, picking the wrong horse.
They don't want to feel that they have given money to a losing cause, that they've made a poor investment.
That's Sheila Krumholz with the Center for Responsive Politics. She says Democratic candidates are wooing the big unions because their endorsements deliver canvassers and ultimately votes. She says they don't want to back a loser and marginalize their impact down the road. Hollywood has invested around $2 million in both Hillary Clinton's and Obama's coffers. But forget loyalty. American University analyst James Thurber says the entertainment industry wants to throw its financial support behind only one contender, and they love fresh faces and Hollywood endings.
They want to back a winner, and you'll see a shift of those giving money and those giving endorsements to the person who's out in front. And it's beginning to happen for Obama at this point.
But sticking with the long shot, who ends up winning, has its own rewards, like a position with the new administration. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Are the presidential candidates addressing your concerns? Let us know. Log on to our website, marketplace.org, and click on Election 2008. Wall Street is literally off to its worst start ever. Yesterday, AT&T said point blank, the slowing economy is hurting the company's business. AT&T stock fell 4 or 5%. And the rumors were flying that mortgage lender Countrywide may be headed for bankruptcy. The company denied it, but Countrywide shares plunged 27%. In the end, the Dow fell 238 points to 12,589. The NASDAQ dropped 58 to 2440. The S&P 500 lost 25 points to 1390. European shares are quite a bit lower this morning, more than a percent. In Asia, the markets bounced back a bit with gains around 0.5%. Trade between China and Africa is 8 times what it was just a decade ago. That's probably why Chinese officials visit Africa so often. China's foreign minister is making the rounds this week. First stop, the economic powerhouse, South Africa. Gretchen Wilson has more from Johannesburg.
China is now South Africa's biggest trading partner. Bilateral trade is up 35% last year alone. And China's leading bank just bought a $6 billion stake in Standard Bank Group, South Africa's biggest lender. No specific trade deals were penned at this meeting, but economic cooperation is at the heart of everything. Take peacekeeping in Darfur and elsewhere in Africa, a big agenda item for this visit. Martin Davis is director of the Center for Chinese Studies at Stellenbosch University.
I think both China and South Africa have certainly aligned interests, strategic interests, in resolving conflict on this continent, particularly where both countries have a significant business or corporate presence in key markets.
Yang Jiechi is now in the Democratic Republic of Congo to finalize an $8 billion deal to develop that country's mining industry. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
The trade agreement NAFTA is now 14 years old, and it's still being debated. This week, Mexican President Felipe Calderon defended NAFTA against protesting farmers. In the U.S., free trade is a central issue in the presidential election. Commentator Will Wilkinson says NAFTA isn't the problem. It's only the beginning of the solution.
There are some who believe a grave threat to American sovereignty looms over the horizon. A shadowy cabal, they say, is planning a massive NAFTA superhighway, a new North American currency, and a common market in goods and labor. It will all culminate in an EU-like North American Union. It turns out this is mostly fantasy. But the fantasy is more dream than nightmare. Because some aspects of a North American Union would leave Americans and our neighbors both richer and freer. The population of undocumented migrants in the U.S. has grown rapidly in recent decades, in part because we have implemented increasingly restrictive border policies. What we've done is make passage riskier. This has slowed in migration. But those who do come now are more likely to stay. And this has increased the permanent population of undocumented Mexicans. The best solution to America's immigration problem is not a wall or a new crackdown on the hiring of undocumented workers. It's NAFTA's unfinished business, a common North American labor market. It's illogical and impractical to create a single North American economy that integrates markets for goods, capital, raw materials, services, and information, but tries to keep labor markets divided. Mexico's GDP per capita is about what Poland's was in 2004. That was the year Poland became a part of the EU and started sending a large flow of newly legal migrant workers to a much wealthier Britain. This neither increased British unemployment nor overtaxed social services. It's been a boon to both the British and the Polish economies, and a higher percentage of Polish workers now circulate back home. Romania and Bulgaria are even poorer than Mexico, but they are now set to integrate their labor markets with the rest of the EU in 7 years. If they can do it, then so can we. And if a humane and effective policy of labor mobility is what a North American Union would deliver, then what is there to fear?
Will Wilkinson is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute in Washington. You can find his blog, The Fly Bottle, at willwilkinson.net. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.